What is up, Breakthrough Success listeners? Mark Bird here, founder of the 5-Day Podcast Launch Mini Course. And when it comes to technology, there's just so much we could do with it. So we actually have someone who is really taking an approach with utilizing technology with digital health innovations. And our guest who joins us, he is the founder of Digital Health Products and Communities, who is focused on growing the Health Tech X innovation community to help educate allied health providers on digital health and the ways to transform healthcare services using client-centric approaches that fit into people's lives, schedules, goals, and aspirations. Our guest who joins us is none other than Yanni Serpanos. Yanni, welcome to the show.
Terrific. Thank you, Mark. It's an absolute pleasure to be here.
I'm so happy to have you on Breakthrough Success, and technology is just continuing to evolve, and the ways that we can connect with people is just continuing to grow. But with the business standpoint and you presenting this very fascinating concept, I'm wondering if you could share with us what you're doing with Health Tech X and how you've been able to expand that business.
Well, fantastic. Thank you, Mark, for the opportunity. Health Tech X has two broad agendas, which are built around a vision, which is to achieve a world of integrated digital health empowerment for all people, for all of us. And it's an evolving, moving target where we obviously have an established healthcare system, and we've developed a lot of culture around how we as a community interact with the healthcare system. But over the last couple of decades or less, we've had this massive proliferation of technology. And our lives are commingled now somewhere between the real world and the digital world. You know, we have social networks, we have a lot of content and relationships that are formed online. We're receiving services online, we're procuring goods and services online. Our worlds are definitely infused somewhere between the real world and the digital world. And so in thinking about how healthcare operates in that realm, there's an amazing opportunity for healthcare to actually start to reimagine itself and actually start to move further into the lives of people and take a more client-centric approach, where it's not so much about a patient having to always go to a given location in order to receive healthcare services, but it's more an opportunity for healthcare service providers to actually bring themselves into the world of their patient and actually be more involved in cooperating with that person around whatever goals they have for their own healthcare over a period of time. And so our response to that is to actually call people into a community and start to actually form collaborations and encourage people to get involved with the Health Tech X community. And there are four distinct types of people that we're developing relationships with that come from different perspectives. We have healthcare providers that are coming into the community who are at the coalface dealing with healthcare, dealing with patient issues and seeing problems and opportunities to actually be able to address and respond to. And so they're a really key perspective that we need to actually get involved with coming up with technical innovation. And we also need people who can translate those ideas into technology or into systems. And so developers and health tech experts are a part of our growing community as well. And in between all that, we have a lot of regulations and rules and payers and a lot of sort of niche expertise that's needed. And so we have a lot of advisors and experts that are coming into the community as well to actually help the providers and help the technologists to actually better understand how to translate those ideas into a world that does have laws and rules and payment regulations and certain governance standards that are really easy to sort of fall foul of if you're just trying to apply any tech type solutions into the healthcare system. So you sort of have to design technology for the healthcare industry, and it's important to bring those perspectives together. And ultimately, we also are bringing in investors so that we can bring these four parties together to actually really share and exchange information and potentially achieve the development of a new innovation that could then be turned into a commercial experiment, which allows us to validate with real customers, real providers, real patients, whether there's value there. And if it is, then allow that digital health startup to move through its respective life and go out into the wild and do amazing things, hopefully, for the community, for all of us.
And it's important that we bring up a big point where you have the digital and you have to keep on going to where your customer is. And there are some business models out there that are more traditional where they still think the customer is going to come to them, but you have to think about ways of how can you enhance your service? How can you bring it to the next level so you are in front of your customer at the place where they hang out? And for all of us, that is digital. So this is definitely an innovation that is gaining momentum and you should pay attention to. We will have links in the show notes, but you mentioned a whole bunch of people who you bring together or are aiming to bring together to make this really expand. And I'm wondering if you could share with us, how do you connect all these different people to really propel the digital health innovation?
Yeah, so that's where the two-pronged approach comes into it. We've developed and co-create events and event formats that allow people to come together and actually build those social networks and those professional networks. Because let's be honest, you can't start up a new company every day. It just doesn't work that way. It's an incredibly hard thing to do, and it's fraught with a lot of risk. So the first thing that's important is to actually develop a crowd of collaborators. And it's taking sort of the idea of crowdsourcing resources, human capital, working capital, organizational capital, regardless as to whether it's an individual or whether it's a corporate or whether it's a large health provider. We work with the philosophy that if we try and do anything on our own, it takes a really long time, and you know that's not really great for the world around us. If you have an abundance mindset, you can take the view that the resources are all out there. We just need to organize them and orchestrate them around a particular problem to solve or an opportunity to address. And so having this kind of crowdsource mentality is about saying, let's organize some events and let's have a call to action for people to come and get involved with the community. And that's a start, because then we have a potential pool of resources to be able to tap into. The next part of it is that in amongst all that social networking and professional networking that happens in and around the community, we have a lot of ideas being talked about. And what we have developed is a large community of healthcare providers on some of the successful startups that have already come out of the community over the years that have grown, particularly in Australia, where we're starting from at the moment with this idea. We have over 12,500 practices who are connected to our network. And so what that allows us to do is actually start to socialize some of those ideas and thoughts and test and validate whether the community of health providers actually agree that that's a problem worth solving or an opportunity worth exploring. So that's where we then move into the startup phase, and we start to look at how we actually translate that now, that that idea or that opportunity into something that could actually be built and implemented into a, let's call it a control group, you know, a small group that we could actually test and measure. And we call that a commercial validation stage. It's sort of a step before doing the startup. And why that's really important is because it allows us to get feedback, real world feedback from customers before any significant cash capital has been invested in a particular project. And that allows us to actually de-risk the potential for failure or increase the odds of success when it comes to putting out an idea ultimately into a startup. And so that commercial validation or that experiment is a really important part of the next phase. And as we move beyond that and get the right signals and the right responses back from that target customer group, we then have also worked towards validating something else that's really important in startup, and that's the quality of the founders, the people who are involved in that startup right from the get-go. And that's something that I've learned myself through my own startup career over the years. I've had a number of startups, I've achieved success, I've had some failures. I understand the challenges, and most of it comes down to people. If you have the wrong people in the startup at the foundation stage, you're more likely to fail. It's just a reality. People grow businesses. Businesses don't grow themselves. And so it's really important to be able to test and validate that we have a good quality foundation group and has all the skills and capabilities to be able to make a success out of this startup. And then when we do that by actually having real customers who validate the ideas, we then have a startup. And from that point onwards, we're able to actually launch that into the broader community with the backing of cash investors and start to accelerate that out into the wild, as we call it, into the rest of the world.
And I mean, your goal with modernizing healthcare, with the digital aspect, I mean, a lot of people have goals that could really have a big impact, or they think of a big idea, but then they don't really materialize on it. They don't really take action. But we're actually talking to someone on the show who has materialized it, has the startup, and is getting all these investors. So I'm wondering if you could share with us, how did you go from, there's this problem that exists, to I'm going to actually go out there and solve this problem?
Yeah, so the you're talking about my personal experience with some of the startups that I've grown over the years? Yeah, absolutely. Look, really important to have a high degree of empathy and be able to sort of contextualize your customer. So empathy with the type of world they live in, what kind of business they're in, the type of issues they're dealing with if they're not in business, and be able to then break that down into the first part of the problem or the first part of the value. And in our sector, you often hear an acronym of an MVP, which is a minimum viable product. It gets talked about a lot, but I think that's part of the dark art of getting the startup right, is really understanding what is that absolute minimum thing that you could actually produce. And too often startups do low quality, half-baked expressions of a system, thinking that that's an MVP. But an MVP needs to be sort of a high quality product, but it just needs to be the least amount of value that the customer is looking for to be able to use it and start to work with it. And once we actually plant that seed and we've got a transaction that validates essentially that, you know, you've got it down to a baseline level, you haven't overinvested too much time, money and effort in actually getting it to that point. And now you've got cash flow starting to come in because customers are agreeing with you that it's what they're looking for. They're going to have a ton of other ideas that extend off that. And at least you're able to actually get a foothold. And then you want to be very customer centric from that point onwards, where you're listening and your analytic systems, your feedback systems, and your relationship with the clients are built around sorting out what their needs are and organizing that in such a way. I kind of use the term, you want to try and find something akin to the top of the bell curve and not trying to get too far to the left or right in terms of ideas that sound really cool and exciting, but they're not going to please most of your clients. And so that's kind of the origins there, where you really want to be client focused, very client centric, hearing and listening to what they're looking for, being able to effectively translate that into a baseline technical service that you can offer them and be rewarded in turn by actually being paid for that service. And it starts to take on a life of its own after that. Trying to be too prescriptive and too concerned with where things are going to be in 2 years' time or 3 years' time is probably not the best place to be starting for a startup. Even though you might have a really big vision, more often than not, your customers won't get your vision, your really big vision, right up front. They actually need to be shown the way. And so that leadership through the development of your product and only revealing to them enough step by step through their journey so that your product fits nicely with the customer and it's moving at a pace that the customer can actually accept and keep up with rather than being too far ahead of them.
And I mean, that's really great advice. And there is this mismatch between, you know, what you have as the vision and what you tell the customers, because when the customer is new, they're just learning about you for the first time. They don't want to hear like your 5-year, your 10-year, your 20-year vision. They want to hear like, you know, what are the things you're doing now? Get them committed, get them to pay more attention to you, know, like, and trust you. And then you can talk a little more about some of the different things that you're planning later down the line. And I mean, the way you mentioned, I mean, you smoothly transitioned through all the different phases of startup, but there is that human part. You said earlier that businesses don't grow themselves. It's people who grow businesses, but there is that emotional side. So how, like, I know you've done a lot of startups, so How have you been able to weather through some of the storms? Because all startups do have their challenges. So how have you been able to get through your set?
Oh, look, I think people need to know that when you hear the word startup, it's going to be all challenges all the time. The highs are quickly offset by the challenges and the lows. The important thing is I've developed a mantra over time. This has taken a while for me to really understand. I kind of relate to the concept of a business as being a small group of people that is helping a large group of people. And so you can look at that in terms of the large group of people being your customers and the small group of people being your team or your employees. And so I think it's really important to attract and retain people who actually have an alignment with what you're trying to achieve in terms of your vision and the mission of your organization, very effective at being a part of that journey rather than being prescribed roles. I think, when you are starting up a company, it's easy to think that you need a job title. You know, I need to employ an X or a Y. And that takes it away from thinking about how agile a team needs to be during the startup phase, and I think through most phases of a company's growth anyway, until it hits a certain level of scale, where you start to then, you'll run into the risk potentially of employing people who are very good at doing a narrow set of work or job activities, but are not flexible and agile to be able to cope with the different types of things that a person might need to do within the startup workload. And so I think it's important to not try and create very structured job titles around you in the very early days. I think it's more important to actually attract people who are quite experienced in a variety of different roles so that they can actually have a lot more flexibility in terms of where the focus needs to go at any given point in time. And also be able to translate that into systems so that whilst they're actually dealing with the new workload or the new thing that needs to be developed from a cultural standpoint or from a workflow standpoint internally, they can actually be able to translate that from something that is uncharted, unstructured, and leave behind them some structure so that as the business is growing, eventually we can hit a point where we start to employ people who just do those structured roles from that point onwards and allow that kind of foundation team and leadership team to keep dealing with, I use the term converting chaos into calm. You know, you're sort of, when you're at the fringe of growing your business, there's a lot of uncharted, unknown, uncertainty, and you need to be able to have, the wherewithal to be able to translate that into something systemized that people behind you can actually follow from that point onwards.
And one of the things that you emphasized, which I love, is, you know, you got to have the right group of people to grow the startup, because we've got solopreneurs out there, but when it comes to a startup, you definitely need people. And it doesn't matter, maybe you start just you and a friend to start things off, but then as you expand, you're just naturally going to need more people. So how do you find the right people to help with expanding your startup? And also, how do you quickly find out who are the bad people and getting them out of the group?
Yeah, I would say that that's all starts with the foundation, which is one of the key principles with HealthTechX. We don't like the idea of surrounding a innovative founder with friends and relatives as a starting point, or the next door neighbor's teenager who happens to be pretty strong with Xbox and can translate it into some ideas into a spreadsheet. You really have to think about a group of founders at the early stage as being what everybody else will emulate from that point onwards. And so, if the originator of the idea needs, for example, is perhaps really strong technically, but needs somebody who's really strong in marketing terms, then what we try and do is match them with a co-founder who is very strong in marketing. And so we're developing the core culture within these individuals right from the outset. It's really important, I think, to think about how influential we all are to each other. You sort of got to understand the human condition. Leadership is emulated. you know, there's a behavior in each of us that others around us might actually be inspired by. So, you know, being a very visionary startup founder, telling a good story is considered to be really good. And, you know, you want to actually attract people who can actually buy into that and actually identify with it in some way, but who also add value into it because they bring something that that original inspiring visionary storyteller isn't able to bring to the table. So it has to be thought about as a 360 degree set of skills and capabilities. High performance. You don't want to be wasting time and resources during a startup phase. You want to be able to actually get, you know, get the job done as soon as possible so that you can actually start to get a financially sustainable business model happening that allows that business to grow to the next level.
Yeah, and I mean, that's a really great point, that financial sustainability, because you do want to think about that. I mean, if you are startup early stages, usually, you know, you're borrowing money from investors who, you know, they help you. But at some point, you do have to think sustainability. You do have to have that profit. And that is a really great point that Yanni brings up. And I'm wondering, for people who have enjoyed this episode and what you're all about, where are some places we can continue to follow your work and journey?
We have a website, which is HealthTechX, the letter X on the end. So the word health, the word tech, T-E-C-H, and the letter X.com.au. There is quite a bit of information on there that speaks to the provider, to the developer, to the subject matter experts, and to investors, where they can get involved and express an interest in getting involved. We are growing out of Australia at the moment. That's where most of our efforts are focused on at this stage. I understand you've got a more global audience, but if there is an interest in other jurisdictions where there are tech startup scenes that wanting to be more connected with digital health, we certainly welcome the communication and to explore those possibilities as well. We also have our social media channels, which you can find through LinkedIn, through Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, with the HealthTechX or my_HealthTechX handle. And we also have a podcast that people can listen to as well called Reimagining Healthcare that talks with innovative providers and developers about various ideas and initiatives that could translate. The key to it here is that we're looking to really looking for people who really can identify with our vision, which is to achieve a world of integrated digital health empowerment for all people. And where they can see something in that vision that they can express or would like to express, would love them to come and get involved with the community, and we can see whether our collaboration methodology and startup program could actually make a real difference for them and for all of us in terms of how we deal with our healthcare.
We will have those links in the show notes. You guys follow Yanni on his journey. And again, digital healthcare, definitely something that is needed. But once again, thank you so much for joining us on Breakthrough Success. It was a pleasure to have you here on the show.
Thank you, Mark.